You're listening to Blue Collar CEO, the podcast that's all about helping you build a better, more profitable, and more sustainable home service business. Each week, we'll cover a different topic that will help enable your company to move forward to success. And here's your host, Ryan Redding.
What is up, Blue Collar CEOs? It's Ryan, and great to be with you again for another really fun episode. I know so many of you struggle with hiring. It's something every company and every industry that we talk to struggles with. I don't care if you're plumbing, if you're HVAC, if you're electrical, if you're landscape, if you're roofing, if you're pest control, doesn't matter. Every blue collar trade in the United States is struggling with hiring the right people right now. There's just a whole lot of companies who need help and not a whole lot of people to pick from. I'm getting ready to introduce you to one of the founders of a company called Blue Recruit. Gina has been in the tech industry for the last 15 years, but after realizing the amount of companies within automotive, construction, and manufacturing that have struggled to find talent, she and her husband created a platform that was built to identify and support the skilled trades. Blue Recruit connects with skilled tradespeople and hiring companies across the US and Canada without the use of resumes or job posts. Think of it as like a matching app, you know, like a dating app for plumbers, right? And we're talking about all kinds of things, but one of the most exciting things I think that everyone can apply to is she's going to talk about five tips that you can do today to start building your own in-house training program that will help get your company a broader hiring base. Let's get going. Gina, I am so glad that we were able to get you on the show today because I've been looking forward to this conversation for a while now. But for those who don't yet know who you are and what you do, it's probably worth starting there. So let's start there. Who are you and what do you do?
Sure. I'm Gina Camacho, co-founder and COO of a company called Blue Recruit. I founded the company along with my husband, Rich, in 2019. But we are a software platform that connects skilled tradespeople with hiring companies. We focus solely on the skilled trades. My husband was a recruiter for a while, and I was in the tech industry. And so using my tech skills and his recruiting skills, we decided to build a platform that's for the construction, manufacturing, and automotive industries.
So, yeah, you like did the Wonder Powers Unite sort of thing. Why the trades? Like of all the things that need recruiting skills, which is every industry on the planet, why did you and your husband kind of narrow down to like those particular sectors?
Yeah. So the inspiration is actually my dad. He's an auto body painter. He's been an auto body painter for 4 decades. He's retired now, but he called Rich, having a recruiting background a few years ago, and said, "Rich, I finally used a computer. I put out a job post. It was Monster at the time." And he's like, "And I got a whole bunch of resumes for house painters, and my job post was for auto body painters. What did I do wrong? Because that is not a house painter cannot paint a car. It's totally different." So Rich, having his recruiting background, he ran into an issue where he was mainly recruiting for more white collar roles. But every now and then he would get a request for a roughneck. He's like, "I don't even know where to find a roughneck. I'm not sure." So we were starting to see that there was a need in the skilled trades. So the both of us did some research and we found that in the skilled trades, you need 4 times the amount of hard skills as a white collar role. So when we started thinking about that, we were like, well, what are those skills and certifications in the skilled trades? We at the time found about 5,000 among the skilled trades industries. And we were like, you know what? What if we built a platform that relied on basically there's no resumes, no job posts, no keyword searches. We're going to have a collection of all the skills and certifications in the skilled trades that allows someone looking for a job to quickly build a profile, selecting all the skills and certifications they have. And then an employer can search through our exclusive database of job seekers and select all the skills and certifications they need. And we match them. So we kind of created like a dating app for the skilled trades.
And I totally track with that metaphor because it's such a clever idea. And I think I love that you say dating app because I think a lot of people would be surprised of how many things that they have in common, like of going, hey, you need like the dudes and the girls. Otherwise, nobody wants to be on the app. Like you need the job hirers and the job seekers both on the platform. Otherwise, no one wants to do it. So many things in common. And it's a really clever idea to be like, because we have a lot of plumbing, HVAC, electrical companies that we work with, and they want to have like these traditional sort of resumes that people can send and apply. And you're like, guys, no, not many people have a traditional resume. You're not going to be like, well, this is what I achieved when I was an undergrad, and this is what I accomplished at this employer, and this is the accolades I got. Like those things you'd have in a traditional CV, it just doesn't always apply. And I love that you're saying you're focusing on the things that do matter, that do correlate, that a company would be interested in. And that's just creds. Like, what are the credentials that they bring? So that's really interesting. And obviously in this time, over the past couple of years, hiring for the skilled trades has become more and more of a critical problem that we're facing, which is crazy. And I know all industries are having that hiring shortage at some degree, but I feel like it's especially painful within special segments of the blue collar industries. Why? Or maybe not even why. So when you're looking at this, like, this is obviously a big problem. Like, the tool that you've developed solves or works to fill a really big problem that exists. Why? But one might maybe argue like, hey, that's just a piece of it, right? Because it's not just a matter of like, hey, throwing out something and capturing people, because there's only so many people worth capturing. There also might be other strategies a company might need to consider to actually grow and develop their own talent from in-house, right? What is the way that you think about developing and growing your own team and skilled workforce internally versus relying just on like finding whatever's on the open market?
Yeah. So we never say that Blue Recruit is your one solution. It's not going to solve all your problems, but it's definitely going to help. So we always encourage all of our customers or any company that we come in contact that there is a lot more that you can do to recruit. And there's been some companies that have done it so well that were originally Blue Recruit customers that sadly they are no longer Blue Recruit customers because they've done so well at recruiting within their community. They don't need our help anymore, which is good. Though I still want people to still need us and help them. But so what I recommend, I think we can all agree, is there is no unemployed master electrician sitting out there. There just isn't. You're having to grab that electrician from another company and convince them to come over. So for companies, I really do encourage them that you really need to think when you're hiring of what are really truly those minimum requirements that you have for the job. Do they really need that certification? Or is someone with maybe something a little bit lower and you can train up and upskill to get to that point still a good fit? And so we encourage our customers to really, truly take a step back and see, do I really need that person to have this particular certification or not? And what I am starting to see more of, which is what gets me really excited, is companies creating their own in-house training programs. And they're not necessarily looking for anyone that has any certifications. They might be getting a 19-year-old kid that just graduated and said, college isn't for me. And with those people that are very new to the industry, that maybe only did some things around the house with their mom and dad, they've got that base level of skills, but you really need to help them and guide them through something to where they can actually become a carpenter. And I'm starting to see companies put together those training programs. But I will say only 10% of contractors actually have a structured training plan. A lot of them will actually say, oh, I'll hire someone that's got general labor or that 18-year-old down the street that said that they want a job for the summer. And they just kind of throw them in the wind. Yeah. And those people typically don't work out. So
it's funny how that works.
I know. So today, I mean, I'd love to talk about how you can kind of start to structure your own training program. And it doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be too time consuming.
Okay, so let's talk about that, because I think a lot of people either A, might be overwhelmed at the idea of structuring your own internal training program, and B, maybe struggle with like the economics of it, of like they need somebody yesterday, like working for them and being contributing to the business financials. And they might feel like hiring someone who's especially green might be a really cumbersome and long road to develop that talent where they're remotely productive. So there's probably a couple like mental roadblocks that I can imagine people having. When you want to say like, hey, here's some things you can start putting into place to start building your own, what are some of the things that you think and you would recommend that companies should focus on?
Yeah. So I am a business owner myself, though I'm not a contractor, and I know what it's like to hire someone green. And it is, for lack of a term, it's very annoying sometimes of the questions that you get, or the I got to pull myself away to go help you with this thing. And but in the end, when you take a step back and look at some of the things that they're actually saving you time on, and that you're creating and developing a person that one day can potentially replace you or someone else that leaves your team, you can kind of, it doesn't hurt as bad. The sting doesn't hurt as bad of I'm bringing in someone, I'm losing, going to lose a little bit of revenue. I'm going to lose a little bit of productivity because we're having to mentor this person. But if you hire right, that person, after a few months, you're going to get your return back on that investment in them. So really, I think to start, you want to make sure if you're going to hire someone green, you hire the right person. I know a lot of companies used to come to us and say, I don't care what they have, as long as they're breathing, I'll hire them. We're starting to see companies backtrack on that because they weren't the right hires. They didn't last. It was a waste of money. And so if you're going to start this training program and you want it to be successful, you got to get the right person in the door to start. So some of those types of people, you want to think about your industry and what kind of work you're going to have them do. But let's think about, you know, maybe some like the residential HVAC companies out there. Customer service is key. You don't want to make your customers angry. Right. And you want to make sure that that person can have a good conversation with the customer, because usually they're pretty angry when they got to call out the HVAC tech because they know how much it's going to cost. So think about the best experience you've had in a restaurant and the server that you had and why they made that a good experience. Some of those people could be some of the best HVAC techs you ever employ because they have such strong customer service skills. They can work under pressure. They know there's issues that come up and they have to be very quick to fix them. And so you want to start thinking of people with some of those more soft skills that you bring in the door. I would also say going into high schools as a company as well and meeting with some of those high school students. There's plenty of shop classes. I know y'all don't do automotive, but there's a ton of different type of trades classes that those teachers would love for you to come in and talk to their students. They have job fairs as well, and that's also a good time for you to meet someone and just really get a good feeling about them. And then you can invite them and say right there, hey, I really think you would be a good fit at our company. Why don't you come spend the day with us sometime this summer and check.
I love that you're saying that, because high schools, I think, often get overlooked because sometimes there's not a good mechanism to like identify either the schools or like the counselors at the schools to find the right students who'd be great candidates. Like sometimes it takes a lot of work. And for a little fun plug, there is a group called Explore the Trades that a friend of mine, Kate Sinimo, leads, and they specialize in kind of filling that gap. So like if you're a contractor of various trades, you can reach out to Explore the Trades and they can help connect you with like resources to connect with the schools, the way to actually meet these counselors so you can actually build that bridge. Because sometimes it's easy to think like, oh, I'll just go meet these kids at school. But it's actually sometimes hard to actually execute because of all like the bureaucratic steps that are in place. Organizations like Explore the Trades absolutely will make that an easier process for so many companies.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. The best story I've heard so far is there's this one contractor who's like, I really want to start working with high schools. Decided to go to the high school his son went to, but drove around the back where he knew the shop class was, knocked on the door and was like, hey, can I come talk to your kids? And the shop class teacher was like, who are you and why are you showing up at my back door? You can't do that. So you're right. There's kind of that little more formal process, but those teachers would absolutely love you to come. Using Explore the Trades is a great connection. even just calling the school and seeing who you can talk to, they'll put you in touch with that teacher and that teacher will be able to bring you in.
Yep. Totally. What other steps do you think? Because finding the right people, obviously, I think every contractor would say, hey, finding the right people is important. But what's cool about the way you're framing it is it's not about the right hard skills. It's about the right soft skills, which is probably what many, many, many tradespeople kind of get backwards. It's like, hey, I need someone who can move the paintbrush or can sling the wrench or whatever. But knowing that how to actually navigate customer relationships, manage those like experiences, those soft things are arguably more valuable. You can train the hard skills all day long.
Yeah, absolutely. When you are looking to build that labor force within your company of those new hires, those green people that have no experience with the trades, the soft skills are going to be the most important thing.
What other steps is important for a company to do in developing an in-house training program?
Yeah, so next thing that you're going to want to, there's really two things that I would recommend is first getting your team on board, no matter how large your team is. And it's, you never want one person to be completely burdened with the training program, unless you have a very large company where that can actually be someone's full-time role, but you've got to split up the responsibilities. And so what I would recommend there is you want to think about all the different things that you want this person to learn, and then think about your team and who's best at those things. And that's who you want to kind of help be responsible for training that new hire with those things that they're the best at. The last thing you want to do is pick the team member that's really bad at paperwork and have them train your new hire on paperwork, because now that new hire is going to also be terrible at paperwork.
Yeah, that's true. You
know, yeah. So you want to think about like, Jane is really good at troubleshooting commercial refrigeration issues. And so this new hire is going to spend the day with her and do those things. This particular person is really good at this. So the new hire is going to go spend a day and learn just that skill. And that way you're creating a very well-rounded training program with your team. And you're also going to want to make sure, because I'm sure we all have it, that one person that's probably a little more grumpy, likes to work on their own, enjoys the PC.
I don't know who you're talking about.
There's nobody grumpy.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. That person probably isn't going to be the best trainer or mentor. And it might give a bad taste to that new hire of, oh, please don't meet me with that person today. And then that employee who's probably a great value and asset to your team is going to be like, please don't bother me with this. So you want to incorporate the team members that want to get involved, that are excited about the training.
I love what you're talking about too, because it actually touches on other ideas of just like good leadership skills of like leading with people's strengths, right? Mm-hmm. I remember listening years ago to a guy named Marcus Buckingham speak, and Marcus Buckingham like ends up writing books about like, now go discover your strengths, where it's like the basis of what we now know is like Strength Finder, where it's like, hey, don't tell people what you're not good at, because they'll never think you are, right? And the whole thing was, if you have like a secretary, I think his example is like a secretary, like who could be really good at typing but really sucked at filing. Like, how many companies would spend so much money trying to send this secretary to different classes and workshops and conferences to get her better at filing? But in reality, she's not going to become good. That's not her strength. The company would have a more efficient approach if they hired someone else just to file, let the secretary just type, and let two people do exceptionally well at what they do. When managers are able to think this way, right? Now, all of a sudden, you only present people's best sides. But now when you have people coming in wanting to train, wanting to learn the company, the culture, the processes, the hard skills, you have the right people in the right spots, because that's what they do well. And you're not giving them to like the old curmudgeon that everyone always avoids, or the person who's always late, but you can't throw them on a job assignment because you can't trust them to do the job correctly. So you're going to have them train your new help, right? Like,
exactly.
But how many people think this way, though, right?
Yeah. And I think it's also kind of on that is it's not only going to help your new hires, but it's going to help you determine and see the strengths you didn't know your current staff has, because you might see someone that is really good at mentoring and managing and delegating, and maybe they should be a project manager. Maybe whatever role they're in, you're going to now see another step forward for them that you didn't realize. Right. And you'll start to see that play out as they're working with your new hire.
That's really well said. Is there anything else you think is important for a company who's wanting to build an in-house training program for them to consider to implement?
Yeah. So, kind of within that team structure, one thing as a owner of a company, you're going to start to lose out on watching the progress of those new hires and seeing how the training is going. So just make sure that you're checking in on your new employee on how things are going, and also your staff, because you don't want some staff member that ends up leaving because they said, all I feel like I'm doing is training people. So you want to just make sure you have that pulse check on the team. But the other thing, and this is if you've got budget or you don't have budget, you can implement it as well, is incorporating video training. So that way, what I would recommend for someone completely brand new, they need to orient themselves with what they're about to walk into. So I recommend having a collection of videos that they can watch those first couple of days that they're on the job site. So that way, when you actually get them on the site, they're like, oh, I remember that from that video. Or I remember I'm not supposed to go up a ladder that way. So having those more safety videos, if you have any company videos. But there's also a couple of programs that we work with. Interplay Learning, they have a collection of virtual reality and video platforms that you as a company can incorporate into your training program. And another company, MT Copeland, they also have very well done training videos, and they get as granular as how to read blueprints. And so those can be things that can help you with your training. So if you've got, you know, a project that has to be finished, you're behind, and a new hire is really going to slow you down that day, they can be watching videos. And while Interplay and MT Copeland do have a cost involved, YouTube, if you're not using YouTube now for resources, there are so many free resources on YouTube that you can really just search through. It's probably going to take you a couple of days. There's a lot on YouTube. But if you could consolidate all of those materials into one place, now you've got another source for free education as well. And so, yes, you're going to have to structure that yourself, but I'm telling you, there's some great content on YouTube as well.
There is. Well, yeah. The thing about YouTube is everybody has content on YouTube. So it does take work to kind of filter through like the stuff that's less helpful, but the thing that's exactly. Also might be worth people to consider, which is a slight, it's kind of a slight development of this idea of like, okay, so if they're doing these one-on-one trainings and onboardings and new hire processes now, it wouldn't be that much extra work for them to do that exact same process to a camera, right? The idea being, if you're doing it once, record it so you can do it 100 times the exact same way.
Yes.
And so now you can actually literally build your own library. You don't have the same time you'd spend going through YouTube and then get distracted looking at cat videos. You could spend the same time like, here's how to not go down a ladder. And of course, I'm thinking of every bad episode of The Office right now. But like, it wouldn't be that much extra work for a company to say, hey, for a few days, we're just going to focus on putting this stuff to film, especially if it's in shoulder season. Like if they know mm-hmm. they're seasonally slow, there's not a whole lot going on. You got capacity built into the calendar just to make that happen. Really good ideas.
Yep. Yeah.
So, and obviously with Blue Recruit, it's an interesting idea because now all of a sudden you can actually kind of mix and match, right? It's, now you can say, hey, we can identify the people who have those hard skills, but now you can also start developing out the capabilities to develop people who have the soft skills. And ideally together, you can actually have a really robust hiring program and onboarding program to help get the right people in the right seats at the right time.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We're even I hate eat your own dog food. So drink our own champagne, I guess you could say. We're going to start working with the general laborers that are on Blue Recruit. We're actually setting up a new initiative with Interplay Learning and basically going through anyone that's interested. We'll put them through a vetting process, but we're going to be providing them with free HVAC training and then placing awesome. Them with companies. So we're going to have our own in-house upskilling program, kind of using some hands-on and video training. So we're going to be kind of in this with all of you contractors too, upskilling the next generation.
Okay, so that's super cool that you're doing that. And if somebody wants to learn more about Blue Recruit, this new process you're building, and see if it makes sense for their business, what's the best way for somebody to reach out to learn more?
So BlueRecruit.com, that's going to have everything. That's our main website, easiest way. If you want to reach out to me directly, though, you can shoot me an email at gina.c@BlueRecruit.us. But if you go onto our website, we'll have all of our resources, you know, for those job seekers looking to upskill, for those job seekers looking for their next job so they can sign up on Blue Recruit, or companies that want to take a look at our platform and see how we can help them build their talent pool.
That is awesome. I will make sure that all those resources you mentioned are in the show notes, including Interplay and MT Copeland, and all the info for Blue Recruit so that they can kind of poke around and learn more about what you do. Gina, for you and Rich, congrats on all the success on building out this platform. Seems really, really cool, and hope it continues to gain traction, because I totally know there's a need, and I hope you can help a whole lot of people with this. Thanks for taking the time to stop by. Great work on everything you've done. I can't wait to see where this continues to go for you.
Thanks, Ryan. Really enjoyed it.
This episode was hosted by Ryan Redding, author of the book on digital marketing for plumbing and HVAC contractors, and founder of Levergy, the digital marketing solution for serious home service companies. You can subscribe to Blue Collar CEO on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Visit us online at bluecollar.ceo and find us on Instagram. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week with another awesome episode. See you soon.